Insight on Business the News Hour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping businesses discover the power of productivity through a diverse workforce. Focusandfind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business the News Hour, and grateful you are listening from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With us is the founder and president of Taro International. Her name is Rowena Crosby. And Ro has been a regular guest on the Business News Hour for several years. And we're going to be talking about a topic of great interest right now, because we're going to be visiting about the role of professional development during, yeah, you guessed it, the Great Resignation. Joining us from the islands of Hawaii is Ro Crosby. Ro, welcome back. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Michael. Aloha. It is a delight to be here with you.
Yes, we here in the middle of the Midwest are currently seeing temperatures of about 5 degrees or so. What's it like there?
Well, you may not want to know. It ranges from the mid-70s at night to the mid-80s during the day.
It's a tough duty. But
yep, it's a very tough duty. It's wonderful. But you know, Michael, isn't it wonderful? Not a lot of good outcomes from COVID, but one of them is we've all learned to work remotely.
Yes, and that is so true.
Here you and I are.
And you know, knowing you the way I do, Ro, I know that while you may be on air quotes vacation, you're still hard at it with your crew all over the United States that are your trainers and office staff. So I know that, you're just one of those kind of folks, and I get it.
So. Yes, I don't vacation well. Yeah. That is a true diagnosis.
Yeah, we share that malady, I'm afraid. All right, let's dig into this. People maybe don't know what the Great Resignation is. It's been going on over the past year and a half.
Well, it's a topic that's of ongoing interest to a lot of researchers, and there's not any one theme that we can point to. At Taro, the angle we've been looking at it through is certainly through the lens of COVID, as well as through the lens of burnout. Hmm. So the Great Resignation really speaks to the fleeing from the jobs that people have. It's also called the I quit.
Right.
People are leaving in high numbers, both males and females. We are seeing a little bit affecting women. Yes. More so than men. We know COVID was absolutely brutal on women when it came to childcare, elder care, homeschooling, those kind of things. So perhaps that burnout hit them a little harder than it did for men. But we're seeing a fleeing from traditional jobs of both genders.
Correct. And one of the things, and you happen to mention women in the workplace, we have seen those numbers just skyrocket over the past year and a half. And lots of that has to do with affordable childcare now. And as you said, homeschooling and all of the other pressures that are going on. And many women have taken a look at this and said, if I'm spending X amount of dollars on childcare for maybe 2-3 children, I could do this and actually maybe make money at the same time. So, yeah.
I think you're really right about that, Michael. And it may be many of us operate out of habit. We operate out of inertia. We just show up for work every day as we've always done. And COVID probably caused people to rethink some of those decisions, and hence the mass exodus.
So the mass exodus has many facets from what we understand, people saying, take this job and shove it, I don't want to do this anymore, to I'm going to open up my own business of some kind. We were just talking with the SBA chief, and she was indicating that that is the case, that small business applications and IRS applications have gone up dramatically over the past year and a half. So there's a lot of things going on with why people are resigning, yes?
Isn't that so fascinating? And the knee-jerk response for most employers is, let's just pay more. So we'll either do hiring incentives or we'll increase wages. And certainly we need to take a look at equity and market rates for jobs, and that's going to cause before we got on the call, we were talking about the restaurant industry, certainly going to cause some industries to have to take a look at what their wages are. But when you think about people doing a heavy lift, like starting a new business and doing that in the numbers that the Small Business Association was sharing with you, that clues us into this is more than just about money.
Yes.
People are looking for true happiness and to be doing something that they find motivating and intrinsically of value. And so they're not just looking for more money from their employers. They're looking for a great career experience.
That's so correct. And, you know, we have seen survey after survey and study after study that indicates while getting a decent paycheck is important, so too is being appreciated wherever you work, having your ideals align up with the ideals of whomever your employer is. And so there are a lot of soft factors involved when people are making the decision to work at a place or not work at a location. Would that be accurate?
Employers would be very wise to listen to what you just said, because the research is very clear on that, that money in itself is not a motivator. If it's not fair or if it's not adequate, it can be a demotivator. But when we feel like we're being compensated fairly, more money doesn't do the trick. And so employers are going to have to address some of these softer and intangible factors if they expect to keep a motivated workforce.
Yes, how true that is. Well, let's talk about what is the role of professional development when we're taking a look at corporations that are struggling to find people, businesses that are attempting to find frontline workers. What will continued professional development, is that going to be assistive to these companies? How does that work?
Well, the companies that are investing in the development of their people often have a better organizational culture, and that's appealing. So they're going to have fewer problems finding and keeping talent than those that don't have the type of culture people want to work in. I jotted down five elements that I think professional development has an impact on as it relates to the Great Resignation. The first one is really related to the organization itself, and that's succession planning. That we're also going to hit a demographic cliff here too. We're just going to have fewer, that's math, fewer eligible workers entering the workforce. And so employers are going to have to respond to that, even if we weren't dealing with the Great Resignation. And the way you do that is to plan for the future. So you think about what are your succession needs and how do you best prepare people for the jobs that they're going to be filling in the future. And when you can do that internally, you increase your chances of keeping people. Plus, you've got a safety net when people unexpectedly leave.
That is such an important thing, and one that really I had not considered before our conversation here. But yes, succession planning. And that also brings some stability, wouldn't it, to the workforce? I mean, if they know that XYZ company is still going to be around afterward, that's kind of important.
Absolutely. People want more from their workplace than just that paycheck that they take home every couple of weeks. And they want to be proud of the place. That's why things like social responsibility are becoming very important, too. Employees are voting with their feet, and they may take less salary to go work for a place that really shares their deeply held values.
So we have succession planning as the first area of concern that employers and businesses should be looking at. What else have you got?
Well, the next one is just the impact that professional development has on the individuals that are invested in. So what our research at Taro has shown is that when an organization invests in the development of its people, they feel better about themselves and they feel better about their relationship with their organization. And people who feel better perform better. Now, interestingly, we have been collecting data on self-esteem for more than 20 years at Taro. And we don't do any training around self-esteem. We just collect it to see if professional development moves the needle on it. And we've got conclusive studies that show that it does in a very big way. So when organizations choose to invest in their people, they're going to not only end up with a more skilled workforce, they're going to end up with a workforce that feels better about themselves and works at higher levels of productivity and satisfaction. And if we come back to our original topic of what's causing the great resignation, one of the key things is burnout. Yes. I jotted down a few statistics on it, including, this is pre-pandemic, the World Health Organization described burnout as a disease in 2019, and that it results from chronic workplace stress that if it's not successfully managed, then you end up with this disease called burnout. And we've got a huge jump between 2020 and 2021 on the people reporting they are almost always or often burned out at work. So it seems like an interesting leap to say investing in training for people will result in limiting burnout. But we do know when we invest in people's development, they feel better about themselves. When they feel better about themselves, they're happier and they perform better. And that actually is a bit of an antidote to burnout.
Sure. And it would be because, and again, it's so important. If business is taking care of their people, and by taking care of their people, not only monetarily, but also investing in them to assist them in becoming, well, better employees, better workers, more productivity. I mean, it all sort of makes sense. If, again, this is, it's not an expense. It is truly an investment. All right, so let's...
It's truly an investment. And often people of our generation, and I know I'm talking about you and I, Michael, we tended to view professional development as punitive, just in general, our generation did. But the generations that are in the workforce now and those coming view professional development as an employee benefit and as part of their compensation. So if employers aren't factoring that into the compensation plan, they're really missing out on a great investment opportunity.
How true. Our guest is Rowena Crosby, ladies and gentlemen. She is the founder and president of Taro International, Achieve, Lead, and Outclass. All right, we've gotten two of the five areas. What's number three, Ro?
Well, the third one is just at the heart of professional development, which is that training people helps them build new skills and knowledge. And I had shared with you what the stats on burnout were as it relates to the Great Resignation. We can help people build the skills to deal with managing that level of stress and just making themselves more effective at work, just simply by offering them training.
Sure. Well, I was captivated by something I saw just the other day from Taro. It was on LinkedIn, and it was Deborah Renner talking about how to better succeed when you have those unexpected speeches that come out. You know, that somebody somebody says, oh, hey, by the way, Michael, would you please speak about X, Y, and Z? And you go, oh, well, I don't have anything prepared. But having the ability to be trained to be able to communicate. I mean, that's just one area.
Well, and a big one, Michael, because you, I know you've talked to several of my colleagues at Taro, and the greatest human fear is speaking in front of a group.
That's right.
You want to talk about workplace stress. And if we can equip people with the skills to be able to do that effectively, think about how much more effective they are in managing their stress around things that scare them.
Yeah. Yes. And how important that be. I mean, when people fear public speaking over death, I mean, you know you got a problem. And things like what you're offering can be assistive in fixing that. Number four on your list, Ro.
Number four is an extension of that training in general, and it's training in specific. And it relates to the difference between the genders. Women in 2021 reported 42% said they're almost always or often burnt out. Men were 35%. Those numbers were higher than 2020, where it was 32% of women reporting that and 28% of men. And when you start asking yourself, okay, so why are people feeling burnt out? And particularly with the high number of females, could there be microaggressions and treatments happening in the workplace that are contributing to the level of chronic stress that they're experiencing? So that's kind of the long way of saying number four is that elements of microaggressions that people experience in the workplace that cause them stress can be dealt with by training organization-wide to give people the skills to notice when they may be perpetrating microaggressions and creating a somewhat hostile work environment.
Wow. There is another big factor, I think, when you talk about burnout and stress. If there are these aggressive tendencies within a business, that's going to wear a person down and lead to more of that issue of the great resignation. All right, topping your list at number five. This I kind of feel like a game show host here today.
Well, and topping my list is actually my personal favorite. So we saw in COVID the levels of both isolation, people were suffering, so they were just not attached to people, or the other one was the suffocation because they were attached too much to the same people. And it was really a product of the fact that we're all social creatures. And when learning is done well, when a company invests in professional development and doesn't just send people out for their self-study e-learning, that's just an isolating way to learn, but actually creates learning experiences that are in community, there's very few things that they can do that give you the level of benefits of creating camaraderie, building networks, fulfilling those social needs that human beings have. And if you think about what companies often try to do to address that social style, that social thing, social activity, often it's games and drinking.
Right.
You know, how many happy hours have people done on Zoom during COVID, or they go out drinking with colleagues after work, or we go bowling, or we, you know, do the games. And I'm not saying that those are bad activities. But how awesome is it that you can bring people together from different parts of an organization who might not normally interact and give them the opportunity to learn in community and have that social and networking need that they have met, particularly in a post-COVID world? So I think number five might be my favorite, that as long as you're bringing people together, you're actually fulfilling a great human need. And then the learning that happens is just another benefit.
I love that. Taking a look at bringing people together and actually doing something that's going to impact their ability to be even more closely knit, but also giving them tools to help them do better in their job. I mean, yeah, five tips, ladies and gentlemen, for professional development, even during the Great Resignation. Ro, always a pleasure. Gosh, I hope it doesn't rain anytime soon where you're at.
Well, I'm on the part of Maui that's considered a desert. We get 4 inches of rain a year, so I think I'll be fine. I imagine in the rainforest, they're getting their 400 inches.
Maui yet, ladies and gentlemen, Maui. Enjoy. You've deserved every moment of this, and I want to thank you for spending some time with us talking about the role of professional development during the Great Resignation. Ro, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Michael. Thanks so much.
Once again, that is the voice of Ro Crosby. She is the founder and president of Taro International, and yes, we will have links to Taro on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Ro Crosby, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.